We turn in this evening to God's Word as it is found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is part of a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus preached during his earthly ministry. The Sermon on the Mount has a theme, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The verses that we read tonight, verses 19 through 34, are about the citizens of the kingdom of heaven striving not to worry. And the text that we focus in on, verse 33, brings up that theme again of the whole sermon, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read beginning at verse 19 through the end of the chapter. As citizens of the kingdom of God, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We read that far in God's holy and inspired Word. Beloved young people, the Church of Jesus Christ, I bring to you a word of God this evening that is very dear to my heart, a word of God that is a familiar text. You have probably heard it many times, sang songs that have these very words in them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's familiar because It is one of the most loved passages in Scripture of many saints, many ages, and a verse that is dear to me. And I pray it may be dear to you also. As a minister, I want to teach you with my words, but also I want to teach you with my example, with my actions. And so when I preach to you on this text in Confession of Faith, I mean to say that this verse is how I strive to live my life. And I want that to be how you strive to live your life also. This verse is why I give myself to the gospel ministry in service of King Jesus. This verse is why I came to Cornerstone in the first place. This verse is why I'm leaving, because I serve my King. That's not to say that I do so perfectly. I'm a weak sinner, and the gospel is such that I am chief sinner, and you confess the same with me, for whom Jesus has come to the world to save. And because he has done that, saved me as a chief sinner, I say to him, yes, along with you tonight. Yes, Lord. He says, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and you say, and I say, yes, Lord. Whatever that may be, I will seek ye first thy kingdom. This is a text not only for a minister of the gospel, it's a text for every child of God. Let this be engraven upon your hearts. Let it not be that you forget what was preached on in your confession of faith. Seek ye first my kingdom, your Savior says to you. And you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus gives this command to his people while he was preaching a sermon on the Mount, we call it. He was addressing a besetting sin of the citizens of the kingdom. A besetting sin called, what we not often do not think of as sin, a sin called worry. That's why he keeps on saying in the context, take no thought. By that he means not, don't think about it, but he means don't worry about it. Stop worrying. And then he points to why we worry. He shows us why we worry. Verses 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy. He tells us why we worry. Verse 23, you cannot serve God and mammon, God and money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Positively in our text, Jesus gives the same antidote. Instead of worrying, seek ye first the kingdom. Stop seeking, he means negatively, the kingdom of this earth and the treasures of this world where moth and rust do corrupt. Stop seeking the things of this kingdom, this earth. That's what creates worry. Now let your heart seek my kingdom. That's the antidote to worry. Build not your own kingdom here below, for then you will fret. And then you will be anxious. And you will have no peace. But as you seek my kingdom and my righteousness, then you will have great peace. First, consider with me the meaning of seeking first the kingdom of God. Second, the manner of this, how. And third, the reward. The meaning, the manner, and the reward of seeking the kingdom of God. Young people, in the church age that you live in, where everyone says they're a Christian, and many say they belong to a church, you will hear many deceptive and appealing ideas and dangerous ideas of what Christ's kingdom is. And I could go on and on and on about all the negatives, about all the different errors of the kingdom, but I emphasize to you positively now the meaning of what the kingdom is so that you remember that. And with the discernment that God gives to you, you can filter out the many errors of the kingdom. As simple as I can call it or say it, the kingdom of Christ is simply the rule. Don't forget that word. Kingdom means rule. The rule of King Jesus. The word kingdom has the word king in it. It's talking about King Jesus. Who you say you loved. Who you sang that you loved. King Jesus's ruling. That's what kingdom means. That's a literal meaning of the word itself. The rule of a king. Now that rule of a king is invisible. Especially the rule of King Jesus, you cannot see with your physical eyes because you cannot, at least as you live on this earth, fly up to heaven and see him on his throne. You can't hear his voice command his angels to go and do his bidding. You can see evidence of him ruling. You can see many evidences of him ruling. You can even feel him ruling, and that in your heart. But you can't with your physical eyes see King Jesus right now. You will one day, but not right now. And you can't see his ruling. It's invisible. In fact, Luke 17, verse 20 says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." You can't observe it with your eyes. "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there." The King Jesus, as he sits on his throne in heaven, is ruling. No matter who may deny it, he is ruling. He's ruling in grand majesty. He's ruling as a king that is shining with all glory. He's ruling powerfully and with all authority. And the believer, though he may not see it with his physical eyes, knows it by faith. When you said yes tonight, you were saying, "Yes, I believe King Jesus is ruling. He has a kingdom." The kingdom is Jesus, or the king's rule, invisibly over your hearts. Over your hearts. Jesus says in Luke 17, 21, the kingdom of God is within you. You see, lots of people in this world, including people in the church, will get distracted with what's out there, the land, the territory of Palestine, the things of this earth. And that's exactly what Jesus is speaking against. Stop looking at the kingdom of this earth. My kingdom is over the hearts of my people. My kingdom is not over the acreage of land in the Middle East or in America. My kingdom is the possession, not of things, gold and silver and cars and homes and church buildings. But my kingdom is over hearts, over hearts, over hearts, your hearts. Don't forget that. To draw you a picture, think of the captain of an army, the king of an army, like King David. And let's say he's in his war room and he spreads out a map before him for all of his counselors to look at, for all of his people to look at. "Look," King David says, "at my kingdom." Now, if Jesus were to say that to you and you were in his room, his council room, and you were peeking over your captain's shoulder, your king, and he spreads that map out before you and he points to his kingdom, you wouldn't see the continents. You wouldn't see the borders of a land. You know what you would see? On his map, your hearts with your name. And other hearts of all of his people joined to yours. And his in the middle. Here is my kingdom. Here are the hearts over whom I rule. This is what I possess. And this is my territory. And that, of course, is a rule not over every single person's hearts. Though he is sovereign over everyone. But this specific rule of King Jesus, which our text is talking about when it says kingdom of God, is a rule of grace over the hearts of only his elect. The people that he has purchased. The ones that the Father hath given unto him. I've defined the kingdom for you. To sum it up, the kingdom of God is King Jesus' invisible rule over the hearts of his people graciously. Now let's talk about kingdom work. The king doesn't sit on his throne passively. But the king, as he rules actively. He does work, lots of work. When we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God, as the text calls us to, seek first the kingdom of God, you and I and the rest of the church world often jump with our minds and hearts to our work. How can I serve the king? And we wouldn't be wrong. Because there is a command in the text, after all. You're called to seek first the kingdom. You are called to do work for the king. However, before you do any work for the king, know this. The kingdom of God is not, first of all, your work for the king. The kingdom of God is the king's work for you. Isn't that the gospel? The gospel is not, look at how well you are serving the king, but the gospel is, look at how the king has first served you. Five G's. Let 5G, young people, not be about the speed of your network. But let 5G be imprinted upon your mind as the five works of King Jesus over you. And over his church. First, the work of King Jesus or his kingdom work. First, always first, is that he gave or he has given himself and his righteousness to you. That's first. Notice in the text, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness. That's not two different things. Kingdom and then righteousness. What the text is talking about, what Jesus is referring to, is that his righteousness is a close synonym to his kingdom work. What has King Jesus done? What has King Jesus done in his work for you? Well, he has given you his righteousness. That's what? That first, he has come in your human flesh and he has lived a perfectly righteous life in your place. And then he has died for you to suffer for all your unrighteousnesses and all your unrighteousnesses which taint your righteousness and make them as filthy rags. He has taken upon himself the wrath of God for your sins. And in doing so, you see, he has purchased you. He's taken you out of the kingdom of Satan where you belong of yourselves. And he's translated you into his kingdom, the kingdom of light, making you righteous before God and before heaven. King Jesus and his righteousness is imputed, we say, to you. That's how you stand now before God in heaven. That's his kingdom work. He gave his righteousness to you. Second, grow. He grows the hearts of the people whom he has saved. Megan, Kayla, Noah, Matthew, Andrew, people of God. The king has not brought you into his kingdom, paid for your righteousness, had you stand up to make confession of faith, so that you may be stagnant. But the king has not only worked for you, he works in you. He's taken you, as we prayed about, dead branches that you know well from catechism, dead branches, joined you to himself, the living tree, so that from him there flows into you, and you feel that, you know that, flows into you his life so that you grow as those branches grow, leaves and fruit, and you produce works, righteous works in service of God. He grows you. That's his kingdom work. He grows your desire to serve him. He grows you in your devotions. He grows you in your prayer life. He grows you in recognizing yourself as a sinner. He grows you in humility. He grows you in confessing your faith. That's what he does. Third, King Jesus and his kingdom work gave himself. He grows you. He gathers. He does not stop increasing the number of hearts. The expansion of his territory, the gathering of the nations, as we sang again today. The mission of King Jesus is grossly underestimated. The mission of King Jesus, young people, is not only to grow his church from the inward, as he does, it is that, but it is also to gather his people from abroad. Let that be more of a priority to you, young men, young women, and people of God. One prayer of mine that I have as I leave here is that God will have your hearts dragged with me to another world, so you may take more and more interest in the mission of King Jesus, not only here, but in all the nations. He gave himself, he grows the church, he gathers his people from abroad, he guards. That's fourth. That's the work of King Jesus. No, he's not a captain that goes and leaves his people unprotected. He always, while he is on the offensive gathering the nations, he's also a defensive captain. He always ensures that his people are protected so that the gates of hell can never prevail against her, as he says. And that's not talking, as we've said before, about an institute church, because an institute church may collapse, it may apostatize. But he's talking about the hearts of his people. He who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of his coming. Philippians 1 verse 6. He defends or guards his people. And finally, he glorifies his people so that they might glorify God. Glorification, heaven. He brings about the new heavens and the new earth. That's his kingdom work. He is coming, and he's coming quickly. He works to bring the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. He works to bring about a day when there will be no more sin and no more death and no more sorrow, when you are able to delight in worshiping him perfectly. King Jesus seeks that glory. This is his kingdom work. The work of the kingdom of God is what he has done and is doing. Now, you can understand your calling. Seek ye first this kingdom. Doesn't say, try to go and take on Jesus' kingdom work. Doesn't say that. seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? You see the word seek, S-E-E-K? We take off the last letter. See. Have your eye always looking for and upon King Jesus and what He is doing. Don't ever take your eye off of the King. What He is doing in His kingdom. That first, recognize the kingdom of God for what it is. Not something on this earth. But something that He spiritually does over the hearts of His people, remember. One of the most unfamiliar verses in chapter 6 that we read tonight, I refer to you to tonight. Verse 22 and 23, you might have read that and you might have thought, what is this talking about? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? This is what Jesus is talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God means that the eye of your heart, not these eyes first, but the eye of your heart must be single, must be always focused upon King Jesus and His work. Always look to what He is doing. Because if you're looking to a kingdom of a different sort, then you will be full of darkness. It is essential that you see His kingdom as that invisible kingdom over the hearts of His people and His kingdom work, giving Himself, growing the church, gathering His people, guarding them, and glorifying them. Now here's your duty as you seek Him, as you see Him and keep your eye on Him. Revel. Revel. You know what reveling is? Stand in awe. Find joy in what King Jesus has done for you. That first. I tell you this because it wasn't that long ago that I was in college. I rubbed shoulders with many other Christians, and they are Christians. I'm not denying that. But there were so many young people my age, and there are continuing to be so many people your age that are in a frenzy, literally, without peace, going about trying to do the work of King Jesus, and they hear on the radio perhaps, you need to be the hands and feet of Jesus as though He has no hands and feet Himself. And it's not wrong, as I said, it's not wrong to want to work for King Jesus, but first, rest. Revel in what King Jesus has done for you. Because you see, it's only as you do that, as you have your eye on Him always, and not on your own work, that you will be enabled to be instruments in His hand to do His work. Second, having kept your eye on Him and enjoying, reveling in His work as King, and seeking the kingdom, yes, means participating. Wait, remember, He doesn't need you. He don't need me. He has His own hands and feet. He only has to speak and it's all done. Seeking first the kingdom, you see now, instead of merely becoming a calling to you, seek ye first the kingdom of God, now it comes to you as a privilege and honor. You get to seek His kingdom. You get to participate in the work of King Jesus. And then you and I say, even if it's just to be a doorkeeper in his kingdom, let me be that. Even if it's only to be a foot washer without recognition, let me be that. Even if it is just to change diapers for the sake of his kingdom, let it be that. Use me, the kingdom seeker prays, in whatever capacity, as long as I am serving King Jesus, it doesn't matter what it is, it only matters who it is. It doesn't matter what it is, it only matters who it is that I serve. Thy kingdom come means, as the Catechism says, it means, rule in me by thy word and spirit, that I may submit myself more and more to King Jesus. Is that what you seek after? How, what's the manner? First, generally, it's a heart activity before it's a hand activity. It's a heart activity before it's a hand activity. Let your heart seek his face every day. Let your heart always be focused with your eye of your heart on King Jesus, what he's doing. Love him for what he's done. Love him for what he's doing. Love him for who he is. Let your heart say, whatever it is, King Jesus, let me do it. Let me do it for you. Let me be a participant in any of these areas, whether it be the growing of the church, the gathering of his people, the guarding of his people, the glorifying of his name. First, that's the priority. How? It's a heart activity. It's top priority. Is it? Is it? That his kingdom work is the number one thing on the list of your heart. Top priority. Would you really choose to submit to King Jesus and whatever he calls you to before your own self, before serving yourself, before serving your money, before serving your sports and your work, your boss, is King Jesus, his kingdom work first. Beloved, here is a Protestant Reformed difficulty. A Protestant Reformed distinctive and a Protestant Reformed difficulty. We are very good at arguing and arguing correctly that Christ's kingdom is not of this earth. That's correct. And we're good at criticizing the post-millennial mindset that tries to transform society in this earth and culture for Christ. And I say it's correct that we are right to criticize the church world that seeks to build an earthly kingdom. Christ says, my kingdom is not of this world. Matthew 18:36. That's a Reformed, Protestant Reformed distinctive. And the scriptures. But now positively, what are you pursuing? Is it really the kingdom of Christ? Or do we say no, no, no to the kingdoms of this earth? We're not trying to build something in Israel. We're not trying to join hands and arms with the world to transform the culture. And then we go and privately we build our own kingdom of self. Our own kingdoms and our businesses. Our own kingdoms of sports. Our kingdoms in high school and the popularity contest there. our own kingdoms of a home, in the middle class, suburban home, neat and clean, with two new vehicles, a good-looking spouse, two children, and little league, respectable church, and good reputation. What kingdom are we pursuing? This is not, remember, first of all, the outward. But what is your heart? What is first? Is it really the desires, the will of King Jesus? Or is it my own selfish desires? Can we really sing, as that well-known hymn goes, "Be thou my vision, thou and thou only the first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art." The manner, the heart activity before hand activity. And King Jesus and his work is top priority. And third, it is continuously. It governs our whole life. Whole life. Listen, we like to make little compartments of our life. Call it compartmentalizing. Think of the Tupperwares in your refrigerator. In this container, we have the church stuff. Go to church, make sure we go twice, pay our budget. Shake a hand or two after church. We're done with the church stuff. Container done. Then we can move on. But a compartment or a container for work. Keep the job, make the boss happy, get enough income, raise enough for vacation. That compartment's done. Put that up. Next compartment. Separate. Family. Family time, happy wife, good kids, good behavior. Compartment's done. Put it away. We go through life this way, with different compartments. The entertainment compartment. Got to get this compartment done too. Games, shows, Netflix, cable. Done with that, put it away. And they're all separate. Seeking first the kingdom of God means. And King Jesus is in charge of every compartment. He's never separated. And the work of his kingdom is never separated from everything that you do. Everything that you do. Every minute of every day. That whether it's what I do with my family, what I do with my work, what I do with entertainment, it's all about serving King Jesus. Giving as he gave. Growing as he grows. Guarding as he guards. Gathering as he gathers his people. And glorifying his name as he seeks to glorify God's name. Is that the 5G network that spreads through your whole life? That seeking first a kingdom. To be very concrete, King Jesus wants you to be a witness in every part of life. Witnessing. I don't overstate it. I don't. It's not because I'm interested in missions and evangelism that I say that. King Jesus wants you to be witnessing of him in every aspect of your life. And witnessing, remember, is not only to the unbeliever. It's to every family member, to every young person in your school, to all your coworkers and employees, whoever you come in contact with. Constantly you're seeking to witness both with your words and actions. King Jesus, you're all about him. Second, it's about church. Again, not first of all about an institution, but it's about his church universal. His giving of himself for that church. His growing of that church. His gathering of that church. His guarding of that church, His glorifying of that church. And if that's the kingdom work of Jesus, then I say, those who seek His kingdom are church men and church women. And yes, that will manifest itself in where you are a member and how involved you are there. And concretely speaking, finally, heaven is your home. Witnessing is your activity. The church is your life. Heaven is your home. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Kingdom seekers seek heaven. Eternity is what they crave and long for. They live as pilgrims and strangers here below, not having their hearts attached to the here and now, but to what King Jesus has for them in store. There's a promise. As we seek first this kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus says Himself, all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, now we can talk about the earthly material things. That's what He's referring to. All the things that we worry about day by day. And as you get older, I'm telling you, young people, it's very difficult not to worry. And the reason, because the more you accumulate in this earth, the more you got to worry about. But as you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and set your eye on His work, the possessions of His kingdom in heaven, I say, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about anything else. Yes, you're going to be a good steward of what you have, what King Jesus gives you. But He'll provide. He'll give you your daily bread, even if it's not the luxuries of everyone else. Who cares? He'll provide. All these things will be added to you without all your stress and worry and anxiety about it as you seek first His kingdom. And the reward of all rewards is peace in your heart. Command is don't worry, but the benefit also, the privilege is you don't have to worry. Wonderfully, the one who seeks first the kingdom of God may have very little. But as he keeps his eye on King Jesus, you know what he has? He has King Jesus Himself. Is there anything else that you need? If you know that you belong to Him and He to you, as you seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, young people, people of God, what you will realize more and more is that how great of a treasure you have already in King Jesus Himself. You'll realize more and more, more than you ever imagine, what you have in Him, and that His kingdom and His kingship over your life is enough, is everything to you. May it be that you pursue Him and His kingdom forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, the kingdom of Jesus, though invisible, is very real to our hearts. For the gracious rule of our Lord and Savior, we can sense in our souls. O God, Thy kingdom come. Rule us by Thy word and Spirit more and more so that we may submit ourselves more and more to Thee, and less to our own selfish desires and dreams of an earthly kingdom. We're sorry, O God. Forgive us for our pursuits of our own selfish kingdoms and a promotion of ourselves as the King instead of Jesus. Forgive us, and we thank Thee that His kingdom is that He has given us His righteousness. Make us revel before the beauty of our Savior, and make us active also, taking an interest in His work, giving, growing, gathering, guarding, and seeking Thy glory. May Thy grace uphold us and give us energy for this great task and privilege. For Jesus' sake, amen.